Let us open again at Proverbs chapter 2. Excuse me. From verse 3, particularly, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so on. I wonder when was the last time that you really wanted something? The last time that you wanted something so much that you would move everything to get it, or you would push everything aside to make sure that you got it. You wouldn't focus on anything else. Maybe it needed money. You wouldn't spend money on anything else until you had enough to get this. Maybe, most likely, it was that you wanted your own way. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You get your own way. Maybe it was something. Maybe it was a gadget. Maybe it was some clothes. And you were going to spend that money, whatever else might have been necessary, or what anybody else might have said. As often as not, what guides many people in life, and maybe you too. You wanted to get attention. You want approval. And other things go by the wayside until you get it. When it's like that, even good sense goes out the window. When it's like that, decency towards other people collapses. When it's like that, even earlier obligations, things that you've committed to, things that you ought to be committed to, they fall away because you want something, whatever it might be. You want something so much, but when was the last time you wanted God like that? When was the last time you were a Bartimaeus who, with all the crowd saying, "Be quiet, don't bother Jesus," he said, "Let me through"? That blind beggar. When was the last time you really desperately wanted wisdom, wanted truth? When you really gave yourself over, you were desperate, you would not let anything go until you could understand. All those other things, you want them so much, you get them eventually because you want them so much. What's their benefit for you? Isn't it very brief? Short term? What about long term good? Long term benefit? Look at your life. Let's look at our lives. Let's get some things very clear, which this passage points us to. To consider what it is that you're after, what it is that you want so much. What it is that you're after, then you might say, well, let's talk about that. That's what the Bible says. So yes, I do want those things. How much do you want it? These verses talk about that as well. But if you do want these wonderful things that God has, and you want them desperately, you would give all that you have to get them. This also tells us that that will be rewarded. So let's go through these, I suggest, key steps. What is it that you're after? How much do you want it? And also to see that God, there are things that God gives richly. What is it that you're after? And we need to, in the time available, we need to concentrate on the most difficult thing, the thing that when everything else goes what we call pear-shaped, it goes upside down and all out of order, and all those other things that we've been focusing on, they leave us with nothing in our hands. When all that happens, the thing that many people come back to is, what's it all about? Why? I need to understand. So many are faced with these struggles. There are many around us, and especially in this part of the world, who seem to have everything. Psalm 37 talks about that. They couldn't care less about God, and they have everything. They have money, they have stuff, they have cars, houses, holidays, all sorts of things. And there's probably a lot that they have tucked away that you don't see. And they can go on like that for a long time. But you probe a little further, and you will find that most, if not all, even who seem to have everything in this life, have underlying problems, things that are just there below the surface. Maybe their problems are not money, but even having a great deal of money, their problems could be exactly that, the money they have. For many, the problems today are in their relationships, the people around them. There's a grating, there's a conflict, there's tension there. If they have relationships at all, perhaps. And there are so many who, at least to some degree, are asking, what's it all about? Things get difficult, they're trying to understand. What is it that's going on? You go through your daily life and you say, well, how am I ever going to know what's the right thing to do? How am I going to get through difficult times? These are questions that everybody is facing. You perhaps, you can remember a moment, perhaps you're going through that right at the minute. Maybe you have some measure of understanding. Maybe you have a key to be able to go in and find that answer. There are many who don't. Up to this point, through in chapter 1, Solomon and wisdom is looks like a person, speaks like a person under the name wisdom, through quite a number of the chapters in this, in Proverbs. But so far already, even through to just chapter 1, Solomon and wisdom are giving a list. They're talking through a whole lot of things that people use to get what they want in this life, the ways that people behave. Some of them, in the first part of the chapter, are very unpleasant. But wisdom also knows, in the second part of the chapter, wisdom knows that times come when there are those who appear to be successful in their evil. They appear not to have trouble. Then they do have trouble. A time comes when they do have trouble. What does wisdom say to them? For example, back in chapter 1, verse 24, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. And then continues into verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. In verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Why? Verse 29 gives us the reason. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In all the ways that men have gone, and there is wisdom set out in front of us, men reject it. The time will come when they'll look for it. But wisdom is saying, you won't find it, I will not help you, because you would not hear. Chapter 1 tells us that the one who does not hear wisdom is a fool. And a fool is still a fool because he has rejected wisdom. Yesterday I was in the garden I managed to dig up half the dandelions. There's other dandelions that just got cut. They're still dandelions. A fool might get cut down, brought to the stage of desperation, but if he will not accept wisdom, if he will not turn to wisdom, truly cry out for it, as we read here, he remains a fool. The call here is to look for discernment and understanding. Make those the priority for your life. What are you looking for? What do you want? Because this is talking about wanting something with that aching of heart until you find it. We'll talk about that in just a moment, how much you want it. But the things to look for in verse 3, discernment, understanding. Discernment, so that you will know what is good. There's a prophecy in Isaiah concerning, we would understand, it's about concerning Christ. And it says that he will to come to an age when he can tell the difference between good and evil. He has the discernment, he can distinguish. Earlier in the chapter, in chapter 1, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Verse 22. It's talking about someone who just hasn't a clue. Everything just looks as it looks at face value, and that's the way they go. Instead of realizing that behind these things there is so much else. Discernment says, you know, you can penetrate further. Discernment, to know what's worthwhile, what's significant. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 4, he says, think about the things that are of good report, the things of virtue, the things that are beautiful. Make the distinctions in life. John, in his first letter, he talks about testing the spirits. Take a really good look, try and discern the differences. Discernment, to know who is the better friend to have. On the other side, to know what's unhelpful, to know what's wrong, to know what's evil. To know what and who is better to walk away from. Cry out for discernment. To make distinctions in life. The two ways that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Lift up your voice for understanding. To understand the world that we live in. As the world that God has made. Therefore, to understand your place before God. To understand yourself. You are probably the most confusing person to you on earth. We don't know ourselves. But come to this, look for this understanding. And this promise is that you will find it. All those questions that so many people do have. And you will have at some point if you haven't had them already. Even the believer will often realize that they're asking these questions. We still have so far to go. You face a problem in your day, maybe later on today, maybe you did this morning, maybe you will tomorrow. Well, certainly you will somewhere along the way. How do I deal with this problem? What do I do here? What do I do with this? What do I do with that person? And you say, someone give me some answers. And Proverbs does, through the following chapters. But when you come to those answers that the Bible has in front of you, how will you deal with that answer? How will you respond to that answer? Your response may be completely unhelpful if you have not first resolved this question. If you have not said, what is it that I want? The old English, want means lack or what's missing. Let's bear that in mind too. What is missing? True, real wisdom. Discernment, understanding, as the Bible speaks of it. And as we open up a little further in a moment. But see too the clues that we have in these verses as to how much you want it. because you may well come to those questions and you may well say, someone help me to understand, and then you get what Proverbs has to say or what Jesus has to say, many of them related to the Proverbs, what the Bible has to say about that problem, and you say, oh, I don't really like that answer. How much do you want to understand? How much does the church today truly desire, and how desperate are we to get to a proper understanding of this world that we live in, of ourselves, of our God? How much will you say, do we say, I must have this or I die? Proverbs 3 says, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, that you're not embarrassed to say, someone help me, because I must have this. Life is useless if I don't. This is to say, Williams 50p does nothing for me. Get that out of my way so I can see what's on offer. What really is there? There must be something bigger. Must be something better out there. I referred to chapter 1 leading up to these verses. And it talks about some people who do go looking for help when tough times come. But they won't go looking for help if they can avoid it until those tough times come. Until those tough times come, they say, I'll work my own plans, thank you very much. I can work this out. When all that goes wrong, then they come and say, help. And wisdom says, they hated knowledge, didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Because they said, yes, someone help me to understand life. When someone tried to help them to understand life and said, this is the way life is, they said, oh, no, that doesn't suit me. Thank you very much. And only when things really got tough, they said, oh, maybe I ought to go back. Chapter 2, verses 3 and following tell us that this needs something different. It tells us that we will find help. Chapter 1 says you won't find help. Chapter 2 says you will find help if you make this search your priority. If you are prepared to cry out, if you're prepared to lift up your voice, help! Show me! If you will go and you will search, seek her as silver. As though William comes up afterwards and says, where did you put that £10? Search for her as for hidden treasures. Many of you young people, or perhaps let's start with the older folk, when you were young people and you were going off somewhere and you shouted out to Mum, Mum, I can't find my shoes. And Mum says, have you looked? Where have you looked? Dad says, look behind that, and there they are. How much have you looked? Search for hidden treasures. Remember a parable that Jesus told in two parts in Matthew 13, just a few verses. He tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so often Jesus, when he's teaching, you can see relations with, especially with Proverbs, and he uses that kind of style of teaching, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. This isn't in that sermon, but it's very similar to much that he says. But he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. Or it's the man who is seeking beautiful pearls. He's seeking them. He's going here and there. He travels the world to find, and he finds a supreme example, and he gives up everything else so that he can have this. That's the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. Utterly impractical. Sell everything else you have. You can't eat a pearl. You can't live on it. But it's a treasure. And for most people these days, the kingdom of heaven seems utterly impractical, but it is the treasure. It is the way of understanding. How much does that matter to you, to me? This matters if you cry out, if you lift up your voice, if you seek as silver, search for her as hidden treasures. That matters because it shows the sincerity, the devotion of your heart to this objective. It shows the openness of your heart to receive what will be given. You say, I will take it whatever it is. I must have it. That pearl of great price, remember Jesus also said a bit before that, he said, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The pearls, the treasure that you are to seek after, wisdom and understanding and discernment, they are the things that you will receive. But back in chapter 1, wisdom says, no, I won't give myself to you. What Jesus calls the dogs or the swine. He won't give his pearls to dogs, to men who have no care for them in their hearts. To you, if you have no care for it in your heart, he won't give it. You will come to the place where you say, I don't know what to do. How do I understand this? But what's in your heart for him? Men say that they want to understand. They want to be able to live a good life. But when the Bible teaches how to live a good life, discernment and understanding, will you have it? When you go into school, maybe school, maybe college, maybe some other training, and there's a teacher there, and they teach you things that you haven't known before, what do you say to them? Do you say, no, I don't like that? That doesn't quite fit with the way I think. You don't, do you? You're there to learn, to receive. From their experience, from their understanding, from their advanced understanding of things. When we come to God, we say, what do I do? Give me this, do this for me. And he says, well, you need to do this. This is the way to go. What do you say? By and large, man says, no, I don't want that. This section puts the question to you and to me. How committed are you? How far will you go to find those things you say you want? Are you crying out? Are you lifting up your voice? Are you seeking as silver? Are you searching for hidden treasures? Then you will be heard. Then you will get an answer. You will be given what you say you're after, but only then. And so what God gives is also here. If, then, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you realize just what a gift this is? Now you turn to me, or someone turns to me and says, well, you're talking about the fear of the Lord and knowing God. Yes. But what about my problems every day? How does that help? What about when I have to decide something? What about when I have to decide whether it's wise to go with my friends and do this or that? What if I didn't have to decide whether I should afford that new gadget or even an over-the-counter coffee? When I can get one at home. What about those little daily decisions that I have to make? And all that you're talking about is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. How do I get to that problem from the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God? Well, it does take some working out. But remember, God appointed that Proverbs should be written in this order. Those things are dealt with, but not until this is dealt with. not until you have a foundation. That foundation, there's a probably one of the newest churches in the Free Church in South Africa, but it wasn't built by the time we left 12 years ago, but it is built now. Half of the money that they spent on it had to go into a foundation. It's built, it's standing. It's still standing. It takes some work, but you've got to start at the beginning. One of my summer jobs as a youngster was out in the sun, burning sun, and using creosote to paint some massive logs. There were half a dozen or more of these great logs. They were 2 or 3 feet in diameter. They were 30 or 40 feet long. We had a big claw thing that we turned it over, but we had to paint it with creosote. Now, that's a black, very smelly, tarry-like kind of thing that preserves wood. And the reason for that was so that these things could then eventually be stood on end, 30 or 40 feet long, and thumped into the ground until you couldn't see them. Wow. It's a huge amount of effort so that you can't see this thing. It was going into a landfill site. They were reclaiming some marshy land, laying other stuff on it, and then putting these things down. There are buildings on top of those piles today. You can't see my work or my friend's work, but there's a solid foundation there. And I believe if they hadn't reached bottom, they would have had even longer logs to put instead. You just do what has to be done to set the foundation in place. And that's a basic principle of the Scriptures, the Bible. Paul has it to say of the Gospel. He says, there is only one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? But you've got to make sure it's that foundation. That is what we have here. Start at the beginning. Devote yourself to finding God truly, and He will show you the way. He will be with you in the way. This is not just a promise of knowing your Bible well. It's not just a promise of knowing about God. It's a phenomenal promise. It's a promise of knowing God, of understanding what it is to have the fear of the Lord. It's about knowing God in relationship. God Himself. We sang it at the beginning. Did you remember what we sang? Who is the God that we're talking about? He is the God of Jacob, who links Himself to man. But who is this God? He's the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And this is the God who says something and He will not fail what He says. This is the God you can know. If you are truly desiring, you are desperate to have discernment and understanding, not just saying you want it, but truly wanting it, you will receive the knowledge of God. In relationship, the way that you know other people, you can know Him. You can know Him better, as He is utterly reliable, unchangeable. And it's in personally knowing God that you will know that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. You will understand what that is. You will know God in His greatness and in His grace, able to do great things, longing to do great things, loving, and in grace, ready to walk with you. The fear of the Lord, this understanding the fear of the Lord, is not that He is a fearsome God, but in His greatness that He draws you to Him. And with Him as your friend, with Him as your Lord, with Him as your daily companion, those questions that you're asking that bother you so much, they won't come necessarily as a flash until you do know Him intimately. The better you know Him, the better you will find those answers. Know Him as your friend. Follow Him. Walk with Him. With Him, God, there is only one way to do that. Jesus is often recognized as this wisdom, or in this wisdom in Proverbs. He is the way through whom you will find the Lord, through whom you may know God as your friend, as your Father. This does point us to looking to the way that God has provided, that it is for the one who earnestly seeks Him. Take that search metaphor, that picture. I couldn't find my phone before it came out this morning. In some ways I'm almost inclined to say, well, so what? There are some people who couldn't bear to say that. That phone is so precious, so important. It may be something else. If you find something so special that you'll never be without it, you may well be like that pearl merchant who gets rid of everything else, so there's just that one thing. You will never lose it again. This is the route to living life well. To know God. Be sure you find Him and never lose Him. Never lose that relationship. Live life well through knowing Him as your closest companion. Then you will care about His joy, and the way you live your life will be for His joy. The way you live your life will be according to His plans, according to His wisdom. There is no wisdom like it. But make it the first thing in your life. Let that be your cry. Let that be your objective. Let that be the light that guides you. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that you're so interested in that you need will be added to you. Seek first. That's what Proverbs has to say. Wisdom is there calling out to you. Seek her. Seek it. Seek Him in Jesus. And all else that you need will be given to you in His good time. And as we read on into chapter 3, there's a great deal more, yes, needs to be said, but we would hope to come to a few verses in chapter 3 next time. In verses 5 and 6, this is about trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. How do I live my life? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. May God bless His word among us together this morning. Let us pray together.